Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast for Resurrection Lutheran Church in Lebanon, Ohio. Each week, the sermon and the text it is based upon will be uploaded for your spiritual edification. You can also watch our entire worship service online through our website or Facebook page. The sermon for March 19th, 2023 is based on John chapter 9, verses 1 through 41. The preacher is Pastor Corey Wagonfield, and the sermon title is No Longer Ableist, But Missional. Now, a reading from John, all of chapter 9. As Jesus walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him about how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened." He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he see now?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that now he sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He's of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "Well, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and you are trying to teach us?" And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say we see, your sin remains." Word of God, word of life. Well, grace and peace to you from the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. My sermon today is greatly influenced by a sermon that I heard earlier this week from Pastor Dwayne Steele, who is a retired ELCA pastor who also happens to have been born blind. Hearing the gospel story from his perspective, one different from my own, one that I could not possibly comprehend, enlightened me to a new understanding of this text. And that, to me, is what is amazing about these holy scriptures. As new and diverse voices are brought to the forefront of our discussions and theology, we learn more about how God continues to speak to us through these ancient words. Later today, I will share the link to Pastor Dwayne's full sermon on our Facebook page, and we will share it in our Thursday e-newsletter if you want to hear it in its entirety. But before he starts his sermon, Pastor Steele shares the following. He says, "Unfortunately, a lot of our theology about John 9 continues to be ableist and misguided." Now, ableism is the word used to describe discrimination and social prejudice against people with disabilities or who are perceived to be disabled. It typically characterizes people as defined by their abilities and inferior to the non-disabled. He says it's time for Christians to realize that this story is not just an allegory, but a real story about a real person who helped spread the good news. And the story is not about healing as much as it is about vocation and mission. And then he goes on to share his experience as a person born blind in ministry. He says, "The man in John 9 and I have both endured the rejection of people unwilling to trust the leadership skills of a blind person. When I was a child and began expressing interest in becoming a pastor, people said things like, 'Oh, isn't that nice?' But when I grew up and tried to make it happen for real, the response was much different. 'How can you possibly be a pastor if you can't see?' Said he almost gave up hope when he was rejected from 17 different internship sites. Would you or I be willing to call a pastor to a congregation who couldn't see?" Pastor Dwayne encourages us to look beyond the archaic formula that the man was somehow broken at birth because he was blind and is now fixed or healed because he can see again. The miracle of restoring the man's physical sight was Jesus pointing to a sign of something greater. It was the impetus that propels the man into his vocation to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Rather than focusing on the man's physical transformation, I think we would do well to focus on how the man's vocation, his calling, his faith in action is changed through his encounter with Jesus. For when the man first meets Jesus, he doesn't even know who he is. In fact, in our story, Jesus doesn't actually talk directly to the man before he spits on the ground, mixes up some mud, and slaps it on the guy's eyes. This man is brought into an encounter with this stranger who commands him to go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent, which is really a clue as to what Jesus is doing in the life of the man. He's preparing him to be sent into the world to share his story, a new narrative, not based on physical attributes, but centered on the good news of Jesus in his life. And after his transformation, the people around town don't seem to believe this is the same man. They ask him about his experience and how it happened. He tells them that some guy named Jesus put mud on his eyes, told him to wash it off, and now he was able to see. The people around town don't seem to believe his story, and so they bring in the Pharisees to question the man. Maybe the fact they think that Jesus worked a miracle on the Sabbath will be the pressure they need to get him to give them some straight answers. And when they ask the man about Jesus, this time he refers to Jesus as a prophet. His belief and faith in Jesus has deepened from the first time he told the story of Jesus just being a man to now being Jesus the prophet. The more that the man tells his story of interaction with Jesus, the more he begins to have faith in him. The Pharisees, though, are still unhappy with the answers they're receiving, so they try to strong-arm the man's parents into answering for him. And when they do not agree to be questioned, they bring the man before them again and once again ask about this Jesus fellow. This time, when he speaks of Jesus, he mentions that he now considers himself a disciple, a follower of Jesus. With this retelling of his interaction with Jesus, he goes deeper still yet in his faith, from believing Jesus to be a prophet to now wanting to be his follower. This man who once did not even know who Jesus was has now told the story of his interaction with Jesus three times, and each time his faith deepens a little more. First, Jesus is just a man he meets. Then he calls him a prophet. Then he claims to be a disciple. And finally, he calls Jesus Lord and worships him. Each time the man reflects on and shares about his relationship and interaction with Jesus, his faith and understanding are deepened. Last week, we heard about how the woman at the well shared her story of interaction with Jesus, and it led others to believe in Jesus. And this week, we hear about how the man's sharing of his story of his interaction with Jesus leads to a deeper belief in himself. Two stories that show the power that sharing our story may have. See, the Holy Spirit works through the sharing of our story to inspire others and to deepen our faith. In our story today, the man is not going out and seeking people to share his story with. Rather, people are coming to him and asking to hear about it. He isn't sharing his story to reap some kind of eternal benefit or brownie points with Jesus, and yet the Holy Spirit still works through him to open him up to view Jesus in new ways. How often are we willing to share our story of faith? Where do we see God at work in the world? How often are we willing to share about our faith, either face to face with someone else or even just writing a little bit of it down? Why are we so scared at times to share our story of faith. We see in this story the power that sharing a story can have, and yet sometimes, myself included, we can be a little too self-conscious to verbalize our own faith. But here's the good news. You are only called to share your story. God will do all the rest. If your story falls on closed ears, it's not your fault. And on the flip side of that, if your story inspires millions, it's not because of your eloquence, it's because of the work the Holy Spirit is doing through you in the lives of the people who are listening. We simply plant the seed with our story and hope that the Holy Spirit causes it to grow. I liken it to giving a sermon each week. There are some weeks where I come up here to the podium and I think my sermon is terrible. And yet, five people might come up to me at the end of the service and tell me how inspired they were by it. There are some weeks when I think I have a pretty inspired sermon. And after the service, crickets. And then there are weeks where I am trying to make a very specific point that I want people to leave with, and someone walks away with a completely different realization. And guess what? I have to be okay with all three of those scenarios. See, each week I do the preparation, I speak the sermon into existence, and then I have to let it go. I have to let the Holy Spirit do whatever it is going to do. And usually, when I reflect back, my life has changed a little bit after each sermon I preach. And God does the same through you. God's working through you, using you just as you are, because you have a story. A story of faith that God wants you to share. Your witness. It will shape you and it will shape others into more of what God calls us to be. So I encourage you to be bold. Share your story. Whether it is in big testimony ways to someone you know or even in small ways like sharing God's sightings around the dinner table. And as you share your story, be prepared to see how God is working through your story in your life and in the lives of the people around you. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Resurrection Lutheran Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. If you would like to know more about our congregation, visit us at rlc-lebanon.org. That's rlc-lebanon.org. Resurrection Lutheran Church is a church of the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. We are located in Lebanon, Ohio, and have two Sunday worship services at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our mission is to reach people with the love of Jesus Christ. All people, regardless of age, race, socioeconomic status, gender identity, sexual orientation, or cultural background, are welcome at RLC.